Welcome to the Locked On Titans podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Rowland. Titans fans, it is Tic-Tac Tuesday, and I'm excited to step into the film room with you guys and break down some X's and O's. Before we do that, in our first segment, we're going to talk about the injury report from today's practice. We are going to talk about a little nasty Nate Davis. Is it time for him to start? We will see. But after that, we are going to jump into Tic-Tac Tuesday. I'm going to give you guys something positive coming out of Thursday's brutal loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, something that we can look for and have optimism about, something that is a positive development, hopefully will help the Titans turn the season around. In our last segment, we are going to do some more Titans talk. I'm going to give you guys some snippets from Mike Vrabel's press conference this morning that I think are important to note that Titans fans will be excited to hear. Ready to get into all of it with you guys? Tic-Tac Tuesday. Let's get it. Is it time for nasty Nate Davis to start at right guard? I think so. At this moment in time, with Jameel Douglas' performance the last 2 weeks, and with Kevin Penfield's knee clearly nowhere near healed. He did not practice today. I'll get to that when we talk about the full injury report, but Kevin Penfield is not going to be back anytime soon, and you have to ask yourself an honest question as a Titans fan anyway. Were you excited to have Kevin Penfield starting at right guard on this team? No. The idea all along was that a third-round rookie in Nate Davis was going to come along and take that spot. Quite frankly, you don't draft players in the first three rounds in the NFL draft unless you expect them to be a starter for your team. That's a reality in this league, and if it's not a reality and you're primarily trying to rely on undrafted free agents and late-round picks, you're going to find yourself upset more than not. And here we are. So Nate Davis was always going to be the right guard. That was the plan from the start. And usually offensive linemen can transition pretty early on, and we might as well get him out there. Now, that gives us the question of why hasn't he been put out there yet? And his name really hasn't even been mentioned as a possibility. They've been saying they were waiting on Penfield to come back and Douglas was going to be the guy. It seems like Nate Davis wasn't even realistically thought of as an option there, which has always been a little confusing to me. Now, the reason for that is, and Mike Vrabel has cited this before, he didn't get a lot of reps early on due to injury in training camp and preseason. So when you're a rookie and you're coming in, you're learning a new system, all that, it's so important to have that time, and he wasn't able to get it. So mentally, it's possible that he's not prepared, and it's not his fault. He just hasn't had the reps out on the field to be able to do that. You're focused on getting the people who are going to play out on the field. So you can't be given, you know, important reps away to Nate Davis when he's just not ready. But at this point, Jameel Douglas has had those reps, and he's not ready either. So it only makes sense that you would go with Nate Davis. Now, one thing to consider is once we've gotten into the regular season, that's less time for Davis to have. There are less padded practices, and we had a Thursday night game already, which shortens a week of practice. There wasn't even a padded practice because you got to give those guys time to rest up. So he has had limited time. There will be growing pains. That's something I want to say up front. There will be growing pains even if Davis plays. We can't expect a huge improvement, but I would rather give him those reps when he's the one who I expect to be our starter eventually anyways. And if someone's going to fail on the job and someone's going to make mistakes and have to learn from them, I'd rather it be Davis than Douglas. And that should be the tenor of any Titans fan at this moment in time. So really excited to see if Davis can step in. What I find super interesting here is it seems like Mike Vrabel almost was forced into this. It seems like he's been trying to keep Davis away because he knows that he's not ready, he hasn't had the reps. But at this point, I don't know if it came from John Robinson, if it's pressure from the media. Vrabel doesn't seem like the type of guy who makes decision based on pressure from the media. But it does make sense that Robinson would have come to him and said, hey man, I know he might not be ready in your opinion, but at this point, we got to do something different, and he is the different. If he can come in, Davis can make an improvement at right guard. He can be an upgrade. And then Taylor Lewan comes back. We know that he's an upgrade over Dennis Kelly. So now we're upgrading two positions on the offensive line over the course of time. And that, along with what we're going to talk about in Tic-Tac Titans, has the opportunity to really give this Titans offense a boost. And anyone who's watched this team knows that's all this team needs to be competitive. All of these games could be wins if we just had a competent offense. I feel like the defense would play even better if they had an offense that put pressure on the other team. Imagine that. Imagine how well this defense would play if they had an offense on the other side of the ball that actually was the one putting pressure on the other team rather than always staying even or coming from behind. I don't know what else to say other than that would have to be a better version of the defense, right? They can't be worse playing with so much stress to be perfect all the time. So having Nate Davis come back, he has to eventually be an improvement over Jahmyr Douglas, or it's just a missed draft pick. And I'm going to hope at this moment in time that Davis will be a big improvement on Jahmyr Douglas. Get Taylor Lewan back after the Falcons game. Now we're looking at a whole different line. If the Titans do find a way to win this ball game on Sunday, 2-2, that's really not that hateful, regardless of how it's looked so far. So I really want to see Nate Davis play. Looking forward to see what he can do this week, and hopefully he is the starter. Titans had a light practice today, so the injury report for that, Delanie Walker, Deion Lewis, of course Kevin Pamphile, Wesley Woodyard, Darren Bates, and Chris Milton all did not practice. From what we saw in the game, Delanie Walker, Deion Lewis, don't really see those as significant injuries, probably just maintenance days for those guys. Everybody else has been on the injury report previously last week, so we can assume that their injuries are something that we need to look at and pay attention to. Surprisingly, one of the biggest surprises of the season, finally, the man who must have blackmail on John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, David Flewellen, has returned to practice. I was worried at some point in time. I'm not certain how he held a roster spot hostage for so long, but hopefully now that he's practicing, he can get back on the field and contribute in some way to justify his roster spot. So excited to see that. Hope that we can get a positive contribution out of him. Want to thank Jim Wyatt for reporting those injury updates. The last thing I want to talk about in our first segment here is we all saw the really bad holding calls on Thursday night. I am not going to be one to blame the officials. The Titans offense played bad enough in the first half. Really, really below average NFL offense in the first half. And that's really what just totally derailed the game. But the holding penalties and the calls from the officials in the Titans game on Thursday night and league-wide. If you guys watch any football this Sunday, the Titans weren't on. I would imagine some of you watched some football games. The holding has just been unreal, and I know that it's something that the NFL put an emphasis on this preseason, but it's ruining how the game is viewed. As a Titans fan, I'm upset competitively. It's hurting the team and their chances of winning when these things happen. But speaking as a person who just likes to watch football, it makes the game hard to watch when there are constant penalties all the time, holding all the time. There's holding on every play. That's been something that you hear all the time. There's holding that could be called on every play. So I know that we need to get the egregious ones that affect the play, but at some point, throwing all these flags are just hurting my eyes while I try to watch the game. So get the calls right, but let's not overdo it. And on that note, surprisingly, based on the first couple of weeks, but after watching that Titans-Jaguars game, I'm sure that was the straw that broke the camel's back. The NFL had a conference call with all 17 lead officials on Saturday night to discuss holding being overcalled, flags being overthrown. It's something, like I said, that's affected how people view the game, how much you enjoy watching the football game, but it's also affected the game competitively at this point. Pretty disappointing that the officials are making that big of an impact on something that they shouldn't really have that much of an impact on. I understand they're trying to do their job the best, but it is something that's negatively affecting the game in multiple ways. So just thought it was ironic and something of note that after that debacle on Thursday night with all those penalties, the NFL literally had to have a meeting with all the officials about it. So all we can do is shake our head, Titans fans. But we're going to jump into the film room next, start breaking down some X's and O's on Tic Tac Tuesday. I'll see you guys on the other side. Before we do, I do want to remind you guys that Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code LOCKEDON. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Of course you'd take the money. So why do you keep picking winners but not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay you when you win. Let's face it,
Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet if they weren't the best. So do the smart thing. If you're gonna bet football this season, bet with my bookie. Did you guys know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is gonna lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Tick, tack, Tuesday. Okay, Titans fans. So what I want to do is I want to talk about Adam Humphries. He was able to get going a little bit on Thursday night, 6 catches for 93 yards. As I mentioned in previous shows, a lot of those yards were off some garbage time, at least two of them very late. The last two plays of the game, he was able to rack up a good amount of his yards. But what we saw from the first 4 catches were actually something that the Titans can take from this game and use going forward, because Adam Humphries was a big free agent signing. He was expected to help elevate this offense, being in the slot and being a chain mover for Marcus. So seeing him come alive and find a way to get open, and hopefully him and Marcus can get some chemistry going in actual real live game action, and that can help this offense quite a bit, because they just need something that can move the change, even on short yardage. They need something that moves the change. So I'm going to set the stage for you guys a little bit here. Jacksonville came out in the first drive of the game, and they played essentially man on the outsides and man with their safety and linebackers, and just had one deep safety, sort of a man under cover one defense. And what they're doing is they're just challenging the Titans receivers to get open and to create separation. We know that they have a talented secondary, at least on the outside corners. So they're essentially challenging the Titans. They know, they've seen the game footage. They know that the Titans are keeping in a lot of their tight ends. They're chipping with Adam Humphries in the slot. They're keeping in a lot of their running backs to block. So if you're the Jaguars, you're going to man up, and probably two of the linebackers, or at least a linebacker and a safety, their responsibility in man coverage is going to stay in and block, which just allows them to kind of float, play a zone, and watch Marcus, which limits what he's able to do scrambling and running if things break down. So really good game plan from the Jaguars on defense. The Titans let them do whatever really they wanted to there with their ineptitude, but it was a good plan to start. So essentially what happens here is Adam Humphries starts on the outside on the left. Not a lot of these plays did he end up being the most outside receiver. He motions over to the right, becomes the slot next to Corey. And like I said, Jacksonville played almost exclusively man on the first drive. So this is the Titans' first play of the second drive. They know that the Jags are going to come out playing man coverage. Like I said, they motion Humphries over. He's in the slot next to Corey, and he runs a beautiful, beautiful route. He kind of goes to the outside. Corey is going up the field and then goes to the inside. And Humphries puts a double move on his defender. He gets a linebacker on him. The Titans are smart enough. They see that the Jaguars are just shifting their linebackers and their defensive backs over when the Titans do motion. So a linebacker ends up on Adam Humphries. He does a nice little outbreaking route about 6 or 7 yards down the field, 5 to 7 yards down the field. The linebacker bites on it, thinks that's it, and he kind of peels off with a spin move towards the sideline and turns it into a wheel route down the sideline. And it's a big completion for the Titans, 30 yards. And at this moment in time, the Titans offense really needed something to kickstart them and thought this would be it. Unfortunately, the drive obviously stalled out as the Titans had 0 points in the first half. But something like that to beat man coverage is important for the Titans to be able to do on command. And someone like Adam Humphries was brought in here to do just that. So really important development, I think. We're going to go to play two. Play two is in the second quarter. There's 3 minutes left. The Titans are down 14-0. They have to get something going. They have to get the chains moving. Unfortunately, this isn't one of my favorite plays. I'm going to keep it positive, but I have to point out the realities of this play. The Titans line up in 5 wide receivers. They're going to have to start doing that a little bit more to spread out the defense. I'm surprised that they've done the opposite of that. They've had heavy sets with multiple tight ends. I think that spreading the defense out, letting your guys create a little bit of separation, and letting Marcus make some quick, short throws would help, but they've done something different. I'd like to see more of a mixture, but at this point, we're one game away from Taylor Lewan coming back. So the Titans are in 5 wide. Adam Humphries is on the left-hand side, and he just runs a simple out route at about 5 yards. Marcus completes it. Humphries comes back to the ball a little bit and ends up getting a gain of 3 on 2nd down. So we're looking at a 3rd and 8. After it being 2nd and 11. The reality of this play is, if you look on the other side, Corey Davis is doing a deep dig route about 15 yards from the line of scrimmage over the middle. I know that Marcus didn't have a lot of time, and I know that there's going to be some cause of hypocrisy because a lot of people are saying Marcus is holding the ball too long, and he is doing that on some plays. But here he had a clean pocket. He just looked at Humphries the whole way to his left, didn't look for Davis over the middle, and at that time, it's 2nd and 11. I can't think that the 5-yard out is the primary option there. Like, I know that he's trying to get rid of the ball, but at this moment in time, he'd only been sacked once, so we can't even say that he had been taking a bunch of pressure up to this point. That's something that sets this offense back. Corey Davis is in the outside slot on the right-hand side, and yeah, runs about a 15-yard in route. He's wide open over the middle because, like I said, the Jacksonville Jaguars have been running strictly man coverage pretty much the entire time. He had a pocket, he had time, and he just turned to the left and threw the 5-yard out and never really looked over the middle at the wide open Corey Davis. So think about that when you're criticizing Corey Davis as well. He's been open a lot this year and running pretty good routes. Not all the time. He did make some mistakes with his route running in this game. But it's just something to consider. Now, the positive from this is Adam Humphries has to be able to convert those. There are going to be 3rd and 3, 3rd and 2, 4th and 2, 4th and 1 situations throughout the rest of the season. Think, you know, we have 13 games left, Titans fans. It's very early. A lot of time to get things right, and this is one thing that we're going to have to rely on. So Adam Humphries beating his man in man coverage for a nice little 5-yard out, something that's going to have to be relied on in this Titans offense. Play 3, the Titans are in shotgun. It's 17-0 in the 3rd quarter. They have Corey Davis to the outside to the right, Adam Humphries in the slot to the right. And the reason that I wanted to point out this play is because the Titans do a really good job of picking up the blitz pressure. They're able to identify where it's coming from, and the offensive line is able to communicate and block it up. The Jaguars initially show pressure from their slot corner on the right and their middle linebacker up the middle over the center. They drop the middle linebacker over the center. They bring the slot corner from the left up as well, so they're bringing pressure from DBs on both sides. The Titans pick it up. Adam Humphries is able to run a 13-yard out to the right side while Corey Davis runs up the field and clears his man, which is Jalen Ramsey, and the Titans convert a 13-yard catch on the sideline late in the game when they got to push the ball down the field. Plays like that are going to be important going forward, and it's a really positive note that the Titans were able to identify the blitz, pick it up, and allow Marcus time to make a throw 13 yards down the field. They need to have time to be able to do that, and they were able to execute on that play. So thought that picking up that blitz concept and turning it into a nice gain down the sideline is something that we should take going forward. Our last play is going to be Adam Humphries in the left side slot with Corey Davis on the outside. There's about 2 minutes left in the game. One positive that I did find from this is the Jaguars defense shows a blitz up front. They have 5 men on the line of scrimmage at the last second. They drop back a linebacker into a cover 3. Adam Humphries knows exactly where to sit down in the zone, and Marcus throws the ball with anticipation so that the ball is right there for Adam Humphries when he turns around. Now, anyone could counter with the Jaguars are playing a pretty soft zone here. They're obviously just trying to not give up a big play late in the game, but Marcus does throw with anticipation. Him and Humphreys are starting to develop chemistry. If he knows exactly where Humphreys is going to be and he trusts him to be there, that means that they're developing chemistry. And that's something that is positive that we can take going out of this game. So one play, a beautiful move on a linebacker in man coverage to get a big gain down the sideline. Our second play was just a nice three-yard out, which is going to be necessary to pick up short yardage on third down. Our third play was a nice 10-yard out against a really tough blitz that the Titans picked up. And our fourth play was Adam Humphreys settling down in zone coverage perfectly and being right on the same page with Marcus to pick up about 10 yards. So those are things that we can be optimistic about going forward. That's going to wrap up this week's Tic Tac Tuesday. In our last segment, I'm going to give you some Titans talk and give you a couple of snippets from Mike Vrabel's press conference. Important information I think Titans fans should hear directly from the coach himself. Want to give a shout out to TitansOnline.com for the audio. Remember, I'm going to be posting visuals to go with these plays on my Twitter account. I do as best I can to post a couple of the plays onto Facebook to let you guys know what's going on and let you know to listen to the show. I will be posting all four plays, so please follow me on Twitter at Tic Tac Titans, where I'll be breaking down the X's and O's all year and have a visual thread to go with all of our segments when we talk about these kind of things. So hopefully you guys will join me there as well. So we are going to jump into a little bit of Titans talk. Going to give you guys a few clips from Mike Vrabel's press conference earlier today. Some news and notes that I think are interesting that he had to speak on. Some things I think you guys will want to hear and need to hear. So I'll let you get to those now. Once again, that audio is courtesy of TitansOnline.com.
I think it's just a continual process. I think that the thing that we felt like we needed to get back to was we focused over the weekend and today on accountability and fundamentals. And that's just, you know, what I felt like was something that was easy that we could all look at in the meeting rooms this morning, being accountable. You know, I told him a story. I had a teacher in the fifth grade. I hope he's watching. Not sure if he is or not, but when we got in trouble, you know, he made us write out like 3,000 times, "I will take responsibility for my own actions." Figured out later on in life that was called accountability, you know, taking responsibility. And fixing it. You know, it's not just enough to say, you know what, I have to be better, but it's like I have to be better and then this is how I'm going to fix it. The fundamentals, I think, is something that I've always felt as a player was critical. You know, I think some of the penalties that we did have could be a result of just some fundamentals and just getting back to concentrating and focusing on our fundamentals. Well, I mean, I think that's how we're always evaluated. I mean, that's the bottom line is you get one crack a week to go out there and put your best product out there and to make changes in the game. If things are going in a different direction than maybe how you had planned for them to fix things during the game. I mean, that's all the challenge. That's the 3 hours and, you know, 10 or 15 minutes that we get every week. And then the players' time to go out there and use all the work that they put in and get something out of it. I want to try to play Nate and see, you know, the only way that you can see, again, to you guys' point, was the games. I mean, it's hard to, you know, in some of these practices with one padded practice a week or in last week's case, none, you know, those are difficult things. And so, you know, we're going to have to try to get him ready to go as soon as we possibly can. And I'm hopeful that that's this week. You know, a lot of reps. You know, a lot of reps that through training camp you have and in preseason games where you're out there and you're able to maybe run some of your base core concepts and start to build a routine on what certain blocks need to look like and feel like and reacting in pass rush situations and bodies around you and, you know, live pass rush where, you know, one-on-one pass rush is one thing, but, you know, the rest of the guys usually scatter when there's a move by the defensive player. And then in a game, you know, there's other bodies, there's legs, there's traffic. So, yeah, but just there's I think, a lot that goes into it. But, you know, we're trying our best to get him. And I know he is. He wants to get back, and he wants to try to help this football team. The only thing I'll tell you is when we got a couple of them in preseason, and if they're at the point of attack, that's really where they're coming up. I can just coach the fundamentals and the proper technique that when a guy breaks the framework of your body, that we're going to have to give them a shove. We're not going to be able to stay latched on to them, whether our hands are inside or our hands are outside. That's what they're seeing, and that's what they're calling, which, you know, it's fine. We have to coach it better and execute it with better fundamentals. And, you know, if we lose a guy, we got to give him a shove and hope that, you know, the ball carrier, you know, can gain those extra yards.
I don't think they ever take the coach's thoughts too much into consideration. Holding was always an individual thing. You know, I had a really great D-line coach, John Mitchell, and I remember showing up at the Steelers and had massive offensive linemen, and I wasn't very good. And I said, "Coach, man, I can't do anything. Just hold me." And he said, "That's a you problem. You know, that's something that you're going to have to deal with." And so I've never complained about holding. You know what? There was crap. You know what I mean? As you put it. There were plenty of bad plays that we've showed them and coached them and talked about it, and that's kind of where the accountability, you know, comes from. But you know, we have to do everything we can to prepare this week to go on a road and try to, you know, do everything we can to get to 2-2. You know, I just know that in every game there's some good, some bad, and there's things that get you beat, and when there's not enough good, you usually lose. And so, you know, we can't, you know, we understand that there's ways for us to play football games, and not to say that you can't come back from being down 14-0 on a road on Thursday night, but you know, there's going to have to be a lot of things that go right, and that's not the, you know, really the plan for us. And, you know, we'll try to do better in that regard next week. Well, I mean, I think that's just part of this process, and there's one of those three things that are happening, and we need to be more good and less things that get you beat. You know, I just feel like if we're always harping or coaching the areas of focus, that maybe, you know, I mean, I try to point out the good, I try to point out everything, I guess is what I'm saying. And so I don't, when we win, you know, I point out the bad things and the things that could get us beat when we win. So I would try to do the same thing in when we don't win. I thought it was a good day. I mean, I thought we got what we wanted accomplished, fundamentals, conditioning, game plan on, you know, Atlanta, get started on Atlanta here, watching them closely, understanding who their personnel is on special teams and defense and how, you know, what their front is on defense and who they have in, at secondary and who the nickel is. And, you know, so we got all that accomplished, and we'll try to give another day to rest on Tuesday and get back on Wednesday. I mean, I think so. I mean, I think that just having been through this thing, it's a long season. You know, we are where we are. We're 1-2. Haven't played good enough in two games. And so we can only focus on Atlanta and putting everything into it that we can to try to go win a game on the road.
Okay, Titans fans, that was Titans Talk. We jumped into the film room for Tic Tac Tuesday and broke down how Marcus and Adam Humphries are getting their chemistry together and were successful in multiple situations. That's something that I think can really, really help the Titans offense going forward and help turn this season around. In our first segment, we hit some news and notes with some injury report, Nate Davis, and the ridiculous conference call that the officials had because of the penalties thrown in the Titans-Jacksonville game. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. I had a really fun time bringing it to you. Remember, follow me on Twitter at Tic Tac Titans to get all the visual breakdowns to go along with our second segment. Also, if you aren't already, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Rowland, and this is Locked On Titans.